I was never really into superheroes that much, but I was always a Star Wars fan. And I love seeing the origin stories of some of these characters. And when I say I'm not into superheroes, it's just because I haven't seen a lot. I know that if I started to watch probably all the Avengers that you've all watched, that I would definitely be into them. However, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. But Genesis 1, I love a good origin story because I like seeing how that character got their power. I love seeing how that character got their name, where they came from. In Star Wars, a lot of times, it's what planet they came from. I know that probably some of you are not Star Wars fans, and that's fine. You will be forgiven. However, I love seeing that. I'm obsessed with a good origin story. Who are they? Where did they get their power? Okay, it's superheroes, we see this a lot. But I want to talk to you about us for just an example. You know, if we can take a look at the greats, at some of the biblical greats. You know, there's this hall of heroes that we can see, and some of the greatest people, and with some of the greatest experiences and the greatest miracles that we can read about happened in the Old and the New Testament. But I think it's really interesting, and we need to get right back to the basics. Right back to the basics, because the Lord's speaking to me. You know, where do you come from? What is the power that's at work within you? What is that, and where did it come from? First of all, you have to know that there's power at work within you. Does anybody believe that? Do you believe there's power at work within you? Because a lot of us, we can say that. We can say throughout the week, I believe that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And then something happens to you, and then within the next second, you're blowing up. Because all of a sudden, you failed to believe, or you failed to take that belief and make it a part of you. I mean, I'm talking to me first. You have to understand that. By no means am I up here. In fact, this morning when I was getting ready, I was preparing. I got up at, I don't know, my alarm didn't even go off yet. That's how early I woke up. And I was so disappointed that I missed out on 2 minutes of sleep. However, I shut the alarm off, and then I laid there. And I laid there. And I laid there for about 4 minutes. And I asked the Lord, and I was really looking for that unction, looking for that soft, you know, spiritual, quiet voice that says, this is exactly what you need to do. How many have ever looked for that and you don't find that? But then you turn on the TV and you find like an ad or something, and then all of a sudden that ad that you didn't even expect tells you what you need to hear. And you're thinking, wow, thank you, God. Because it's that unction. A lot of times people ask me, how did you write that song? Where did you get the lyrics to that song? I kind of consider myself a terrible lyricist, but people come up to me and they'll say, that song, I haven't been able to stop singing that song all week. And it's just been on my mind, and it resonates with my soul, with what I'm going through right now. Where did you get the words to that? How do you hear from the Lord? Has anybody ever stopped to wonder that? How do I hear from the Lord? You know, Pastor Gary and I, we go to a separate pastor's group, and that question's come out a lot. How do you hear from the Lord? How do you know that it is the Lord? Because sometimes you feel that it's the Lord, you start moving in that way, and then 2 minutes or 2 weeks or 2 years later, you find out, that wasn't the Lord. Right? How many, you're tracking with me, right? But how do you know? It's that unction, it's that spirit within you, because we are first spirit beings. Amen. We're not we are these carbon-based life forms, and our shell is carbon-based, and sometimes my shell is on, sometimes it's not. Sometimes my shell, like this morning, I couldn't figure out my hair. Couldn't do it. And I got to the point where I'm like, you know what? I'm using Bosley stuff now. I admit it. Okay, I'm using Bosley. Okay, it's getting a little thin in the back, but I'm using that. And I just don't like how it makes my hair feel. So my carbon-based life form's a little off this morning, but it is nothing, and it's not indicative of the spirit-based life form that's within me. That says, thank you. That says, you know what? Despite my hair care products, I'll raise a hallelujah. Amen? How many men you're tracking with me? Okay, yeah. I never thought this day would come. I would tease my boys and say, you know what, boys? I'm never going to go bald. This is not pertinent to the message. I just wanted to put that out there. Speak life. But in Genesis 1, we see a very, very detailed account of who we are. Let's go there. Genesis 1. I'm going to try to do something and let the word speak for itself. I'm going to try not to stop every other word. Bible students, you know that that's probably not going to happen, but let's go. In the beginning, God created. I got to stop right there. Elohim, the triune God. I love that name, Elohim. Because it lets us know that there's this beautiful picture. There's this beautiful father-like figure. There's this being that calls us his own. And his name is Elohim. And he is three in one, the God, the triune being. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, everybody say, God said. Okay, that's key. Every time I read that in the scripture, you're going to come right back at it. Okay, we got that. Let's try that again. And God said, there we go. You're doing good already. Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and then there was morning, the first day. And then verse 6, God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and then there was morning the second day. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And so it was. God called the land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, fruit trees bearing fruits in which their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and the trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and then there was morning on the third day. Verse 11. And God said, getting kind of a weak there. Next one, we'll pick it up, all right? Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens that separate the light from the day, and let them be signs for seasons and days and years. I love that he gets us some sort of time reference, because we're humans and we're obsessed with time. You know what I'm saying? Where that time is always against us, right? I don't have enough time. If I had enough time as that guy, then I could be successful. I'll tell you what, Elon Musk has the same amount of time as I do, okay? Bill Gates, Jesus had the same amount of time, quote unquote, that we did, but yet we're obsessed with time. If I could turn back time, okay, we don't want to go back into that place, but we know we're obsessed with time. I don't have enough time left. There's too much time. There's not enough time. Let me just remove that from your brain for a second. There's two things that we're going to remove from your brain this morning. One is your reference of time, because we think it's all to get us. Okay, that's the first one. Time. Well, I don't know. How am I supposed to? What time is it? I got a roast in the oven, Talbot, you're telling me? Okay, but there's that essence of time that we feel is always against us. We don't have enough of it. If I just had more time, then I could be. If I just had the resources, then I could be. Okay, let's take that time out. That's the first thing. The second thing is coming up. Where are we? Signs and seasons, and let the lights in the expanse of the heavens, verse 15, to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Verse 16, and God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. I love that there's a hyphen and the stars, right? Because that shows me just how amazing he truly is. I love studying the stars. If any of you have seen a lot of my photography, you see that I love to take photography at night. I love the stars. I'm obsessed with the Milky Way. I love seeing the different galaxies that hang out there that are all under his control. control because he has created them. But yet there's this missing point in the Bible where we say, well, this is kind of one of the few times that actually speaks about the stars. We want to know more about the stars. Isn't it interesting that he gets right to the point of what is important? See, we as Christians and we as people in general, we argue about this all the time. Some people group says, this is how creation happened. And then another people group would say, actually, this is. We've found deep in the waters of the Dead Sea, we've found this. Or we found these scrolls. Or we found the Book of Thomas. And that actually, and we found this. And we found, see, God just says, it's a very interesting thing. He just speaks the life, and he points out what is important. He says, this is what I want you to get to see. You know, do any of us really know? That's the beauty of it. There's this, the whole time he's creating. And he's showing us what is truly important. Let's read on, verse 11. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. I love that. He keeps reminding us. He said, it was good. It's good. It's good. Right? It's good. And he goes on and on. Verse 19, and there was evening, and then there was morning on the fourth day. Verse 20, and God said, there we go. I knew you were going to do it. Let the waters swarm and with swarms of living creatures. Let birds, remember that, the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm according to its kinds and their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. In verse 22, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply of the earth. He saw that it was good. So he said, be fruitful and multiply. Verse 23, and there was evening and there was morning on the fifth day. All right. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 26, and God said, listen to this. Let us make what? Man. Let us make mankind in our image. After our likeness. What is God doing right here? He's creating out of a abundance. He's creating out of abundance. It's not like he has this bag of tricks and he's just keep pulling things out and poof, there it is. He is speaking into an existence and he is speaking abundance. And what he says right here is, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and of the birds of the heavens and over the livestock, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Okay, no matter what kind of left-wing sort of news you hear that would put an animal life over yours. That's not the case. We have dominion. So God created, verse 27, I love my little puppy, okay? I love him so much, right? But he is in my control, no matter how much he tries to go against, all right? How many have that puppy? And no matter what you say, or sometimes a child, a small child, is the same way, right? But we have dominion over that. We have been given dominion because of trust, because a creative being has said, I trust you. I trust you with this garden, Adam, okay? And we're gonna get into that. We're not even gonna get into the whole Adam and Eve thing for a second. We're gonna kind of paraphrase through that, okay? Because again, this is an origin story. Okay, so a lot of times origin stories, you get the beginning, it's really tight and it's impactful, and then the middle is like, oh, really, that's what happened? And then there's the cognitive dissonance that we're gonna talk about, like, well, I feel like I should be doing this, but no, really, I need to be doing this. And then there's the hero that comes up, and then really, we think it's a finish line, but really it's just the starting line, okay? But it all goes back to this. God made us in his image. We need to believe that. We need to see that. Because we're not walking around like we're a part of his image. We're not walking around like we're chiseled from the same stone as Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Joshua or Moses, okay? We're just walking around like we've got this lack. And we can say, and this is where the origin story kicks up. Actually, let's finish. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. And listen to this, fill the earth and subdue it. Everybody say, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. How are we to be fruitful if we have not been given the ability to be creative? See, we have. He says, be fruitful and multiply because we have been given the ability to create. I love it in the Hebrew, to bring forth and replenish. To bring forth and replenish. If I just had the resources, then I could do it. If I was as that person was or this person, then I could do it, right? But we have been given the power because God said to us, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth and replenish. You have been given that power. And then we know, we're gonna paraphrase. We're gonna paraphrase right to John. I didn't give this verse to Pastor Chris, but that's okay because there's just three words that we're gonna talk about. But the paraphrase goes like this, okay? Then all of a sudden, being made in his image, Adam and Eve were set upon the earth. Pastor Gary talked about this just the other week. I had a massive revelation when he said, you know what? It's like you go into Cabela's, you can have anything you want except for this one thing, okay? And that's awesome. I could do damage, okay? I could fill that minivan. I could. I'll do it. I could do it. You know, I'll strap the John boats to the roof. I'll do it, okay? But except for this one thing, we see that, wow, what an awesome. But then there's always that little voice inside of us says, well, you got to have it. It's like telling my kids, you can do this, but you can't do that. Well, what are they going to do? They want to do that I told them that they couldn't do. I want to do that I told them that they couldn't do. Right? It's just the nature of the beast, right? We're wondering, we're questioning, we're wondering. Okay. Excuse me. So now we see the fall of man. It happened. If there was theatrical music, it'd be dun dun dun. This fall of man happened, and darkness covers the earth. Okay, and even though we were created out of abundance, there was that choice that was made that says, and there was this, the serpent deceived the woman, and that's when I'm not putting it on you like Pastor Gary said, the woman was deceived, Adam chose. So guys, sorry about that, okay? But there was a choice that was made, and then the gross darkness, it covers the earth. And a lot of times we can get stuck in that. We can say, yeah, sure, we're created out of abundance, but there was a fall of man, and you're not remembering, okay? You're not remembering the fact that now there's the fall, okay? And the fall actually puts us in this like little jar, and that actually limits us. And because of the fall of man, because of the Adamic nature that's at work within us in Romans 7, I want to do this, but I can't. And the things that I want to do, I can't because they're the things that I don't want to do. And there's this like schizophrenic conversation that's happening here, right? And we limit ourselves because the fall of man, can't do it. I'd like to minister more, but fall of man, you know, I don't know why, that's not even pertinent to anything. But there's this mindset of lack. Where did that come from? It's not like God was handing out these lack cards. He was creating us out of abundance. And all of a sudden the fall of man happens. And there's this whole Christian organization, there's this whole people on earth that are just walking around with lack. In 2019, we walk around with lack, with that mindset of lack. Where did that come from? It wasn't like you were dealt a bad hand. A lot of times, that's what we use, right? We use that excuse. Well, it's just the hand that I was dealt. Actually, you were created out of abundance. I had somebody tell me the other day and was almost in tears, right? Because he said, you know, I'm just quiet and that's my weakness. I said, that's not your weakness. That's not a weakness because you're quiet. That's not a weakness because you're introverted versus extroverted. It's not like extroverted people are the chosen ones, right? And just because you're an introvert doesn't make you wrong, or that's not your weakness. That's how the creative God, the creator God who created you out of abundance, that's how he created you, right? My very favorite verse in the Bible, Ephesians 2:10, for you are God's own workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You're an introvert, that's not a weakness. In fact, me, an extrovert, I would say I wish I could be more like that. My wife probably wishes I could be more like that sometimes. All right, but that's not a weakness. A weakness is I can't stop cussing at my students. Pray for me, seriously. I don't know. Jeremy, I don't know what we're gonna do. Okay, that's a weakness. You ever ask anybody a weakness? I all the time when I meet with people and I mentor some students, and I definitely won't say names, but I don't think there's any of you in this room right now. But hey, what's your weakness? Well, I care too much. I work too hard. Okay, yeah, I see what you did there, and you kind of, yeah, whatever. All right, what's really your weakness? Well, there's certain ways that we're created. That's not your weakness, man. If you're quiet, it's because God made you that way, and run with that. There's beauty in that. There's beauty in that. Amen? Because God created you out of abundance. Don't blame the fall of man on the mindset of lack that we have, right? And then now again, we have this cognitive dissonance with ego. You know what's disgusting about ego? I struggle with ego from time to time, and you don't have to go and interview my wife. I'll tell you firsthand, you know, I struggle with ego. And you know what the interesting thing is? Ego is what generates that concept of lack, right? Because our ego saying, I want more. I want to be seen more. I need to be heard more. I need more money. I need more respect. I demand it. Or I have this affirmation for attention. And I need to get that because of my personality type. Or you know what I'm saying? I've taken those. I love those, right? I've taken those, but the whole time I'm making excuses. I'm making excuses for the own stuff that's in my life, and I'm blaming it on, well, if I was just the way. My ego is putting that idea of lack in my mind. It's not God. God says, I've created you this way. Sure, you might be quiet. The things that you think are quirks, right? I got a ton of them, right? But God says, I'll use them. I'll use them to grow my kingdom. Because ever since the fall of man, if we want to look at the fall of man, we got to look at what he's trying to do. He's trying to restore the earth into its what? Original glory, purpose. Jesus is even in heaven creating a new earth, new Jerusalem, right? And we see that, and we hear about that, but yet it's almost like we forget about it. And before you know, our unconscious mind is arguing with our conscious mind, and there's this war happening, okay? I want to do this, but I can't do this. We're just creating lack. I wish I could be more like this. And then moving on with the origin story right through, one thing I think is very interesting is even some of the people in the Old Testament, and I got a list right here. This is my journal. I don't know if any of you journal, but I love to journal. I have three journals that I have with me almost every time, every day, everywhere I go, right? I keep three journals. One is definitely it's a spiritual, biblical journal. I have another journal because I love writing fiction, and I'm starting another book, right? And so I love a journal. I have different ideas that I do. And then I have a future self journal. I tell myself, I write to myself what I want to become like. And I think it's important to journal, to put that energy to paper. And it's amazing to see. And then to go back at your journal years later and be like, wow, I was really screwed up. And God, you came through on that one, right? I love journaling. My brother got me this one for Christmas, or his wife. I don't remember. We have Secret Santa. But listen to these Old Testament names, because all of a sudden, rising from the ashes, even though it was the fall of man, even though it was a gross darkness over the earth, and it would have been super quiet for years to come, right? There was no hope. There wasn't supposed to be any hope, but yet from the ashes rise up names like Noah, who heard from God, okay? Saved the human race. We could look at it on the negative aspect and be like, well, you know, if it wasn't for, you know. But no, take that mindset of lack away from you. Take that out of your mind. Take the concept of time. I won't be that long, I promise. But take that concept of time outside of your mind and take that concept of lack, because God didn't put that lack there. All right, let's move on. Abraham. Abraham had many sons, and many sons had father Abraham, and I'm one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Okay, anyway, I see that you're not into it. Jacob, Joseph. Can you imagine being in the shoes of Joseph for just one moment? We think it's bad because, oh, taxes are going up again. Okay, Joseph was sold into slavery. Left for dead, thought he was dead. Everybody thought he was dead. They made up a story. He's dead. We can just move on with our lives. And then he rises up, and Joseph with patience. If I was in Joseph's shoes, you definitely wouldn't be reading it about it in the Bible, because I would have just lost it. Okay, and then he gets in jail and he says, remember me. And then he gets out, and what happens? He doesn't remember him until years later. He has that epiphany. Oh yeah, I knew I forgot something. Okay, Joseph. Moses, old covenants, Moses, who would meet with God, would surround himself. I'm doing this study on the presence of God because I'm just super hungry for more of it. As a worship leader, I don't want to just come up here and sing songs and that make us feel good. I want to be saturated with the presence of God. I want this place. I want when you walk into this place, there's a tangible presence of God. I want that. Maybe you don't, but I do. And it's something that I want to know more about. And I see these Old Testament guys, Old Covenant. And I see Moses, who would wait on the Lord. And me, I go hike the mountain. I'm writing in my journal, my future self journal. And I'm writing to my future self, I'm gonna be awesome. I'm paraphrasing. And then I think, okay, Lord's not moving. It's been, there's that time again. I gotta get home. You know, I gotta get home. And I really do, you know, I had to get home. But there's a, and I'm not saying that you have to physically go climb a mountain. I love doing that. I love meeting God on the mountaintop. And one day, I think I shared it not too long ago when I was meeting, and I felt the Lord's presence so thick where it gave me chills. And then all of a sudden, I said, Lord, I feel you. I feel your presence. And then the wind started blowing through the trees, and I started picturing like the trees and the leaves clapping their hands for the Lord, right? And then I was like, oh, I was getting chills all over. I don't want to get all charismatic on you here for a second, but it was God. I just felt God moving through me at that point. And so I started to go down the mountain. My knee was throbbing with pain, and so I said, you know what, I'm going to reject that pain, okay? And then all of a sudden, I felt fine again. I felt to go down the mountain, and then I said, Lord, I want to see your presence. I'm crazy enough where I want to see your presence. I have my camera with me, you know, as I do most of the time, and this thick fog just comes out of nowhere, right? This thick fog, and the clouds start settling low on the mountain. It was a burnt meadow and brown field, and which happens a lot. It's not like a scientific anomaly. It happens a lot, but it just happened to coincidentally happen when I said, Lord, I want to see your presence. And this thick fog settled in. I was telling my father-in-law about this, and I tried to like capture it with my camera, right? This rays of sun coming through. And I remember for me, I was blown away. I could have emailed the picture to one of you, and you would have been like, what is this? This is a terrible picture. Come on, Talbot. You're really slicking, you know? I really expect more out of you. But I remember thinking, thank you, Lord. I mean, I don't want to get super spiritual, but man, it was tangible, and I want more of that. And we read about Moses, Old Covenant, after the fall of man had already happened. meets with God, has an experience with God. Gideon, angel of the Lord sitting down next to him. I won't stop at all of these. Naomi, Ruth, okay? Samson, Samuel. I love 1 and 2 Samuel. Those who know me best know I love. I want to make an HBO series out of 1 and 2 Samuel. Maybe not HBO. Maybe that's the wrong. Don't get the wrong idea out of me. I don't have HBO, okay? But I love it. It's so incredible what we read there, okay? David, okay? Old covenant still. Solomon. You're telling me, what about there? Where's the mindset of lack there? He understood something that we're not getting. The Lord kind of gives him, and I hate using this phrasing, like the Lord gives him a blank check. But in actuality, the Lord says, what do you want? And like in this vision, right? I want wisdom. I need wisdom. I need wisdom. I need wisdom. I need your wisdom. I feel that we as people, we need to pray that more. As parents, how many parents out there? Lord, I need wisdom. I don't care how young or how old you are, if you've ever had children, okay, stepchildren, adopted people, or whatever, you've prayed that prayer. I need wisdom. My wife and I will pray in bed, and I like to pray for wisdom because Lord knows I need it. All right? I'm not saying there's a mindset of lack there. I just want more wisdom. Solomon wanted more wisdom. And man, we can learn from these guys, old covenant guys that experienced the miraculous. Despite the fall, Jehoshaphat, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Habakkuk, Jeremiah, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You're talking miracle. Miracle working power. Think about that. Come on. How crazier? How does that happen? I'm sorry, my grammar is like going crazy right now. Because if you think about that, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Come on. Young people that even in the face of the opposition said, I won't go that way. I just won't do it. Daniel ended up in the lion's den. That's another crazy one. You can't pray to your God, Daniel. You must pray to the king. And Daniel was caught praying because a godly man would be caught praying. Amen? No matter what the situation, no matter who in your family, who in the world, who of your coworkers. I remember having coworkers when I worked other jobs, and they would say, you're crazy for believing in God. And I said, you're crazy for not believing in God, because that's all I just want to be surrounded with. I don't have all the answers. In fact, Adam and I were talking this morning about all some sort of like questions, right? Some of us have questions. And it's okay. It's okay to ask those questions because it leads you closer to the one who gives you the answer. And I remember thinking to these people, I would love to talk to you more about it, but you're crazy for not believing in God. And I love talking to people. You know, I have ex-teammates and friend of mine that were atheists and other religions. I love having those conversations with them. Because honestly, I get to know them more. I get to know them better. So Jesus called these people out. He said, Nicodemus, Zacchaeus, let's talk. The rich young ruler, I have it all figured out, man. Jesus said, actually, there's one thing that's got your heart. And it wasn't like his abundance of wealth was getting to him. It was the issue of his heart. He said, sell all you have. And he saw that as, I can't. That mindset of lack, I can't. And boom, shut him off, curtain right there. But let's keep going over the Old Testament before we get to the New Testament. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Ezekiel. Right, and then finally, what happens is John, in all the Gospels, we see that born out of a virgin, okay, in Nazareth, okay, we see this the life of Christ being born and raising up, and then finally, you know, we can take a look at the Scripture from the outside, from 2019, looking in, and we can say, here's the hero, he's getting, he's rising from the ashes. You know, when he was born, Mary and Joseph, they sacrificed two pigeons, which implied that they were poor, okay? But then we see the progression of them coming. Later on, when the wise men came to him, they were in a house, so there's a progression there. There's something happening. So now they must be doing a little bit better because they're in a house. They're in a dwelling now. So things, and then we see the life of Christ coming up, and he's talking to people. He's going to church. He's being found in the synagogue. He is there getting in. He's talking. He's working. He's walking with the people. We see the hero rising up. And then we see that the image of the cross. The image of the cross. And he's hung up there. I often think that, you know, Christmas is like the all-star game of the church, right? It's like the all-star game, and Easter's like the World Series, even though it just kind of goes out in like one bang. Or I guess you could, you know, the Jewish holidays in there too. So it's like the World Series. It's like, here we go. Let's go. Or if you're a football fan, you know, the Christmas is like the Pro Bowl, but happens before, and Easter is like the Super Bowl of church, right? And so we as people, we make it, we Americanize everything, right? But we see a Savior suspended because of love. And then the three words, that give us no excuse at all. These men didn't have an excuse. Men and women, okay, these men and women didn't have any excuses. Or maybe they did, you know, maybe Joseph had plenty of excuses. And he could say, you know what? I just don't feel like it today, okay? How many of you have gotten up? You don't have to raise your hand, but you can say, you know what, God, just I don't feel like it. That was me this morning. I just don't feel like it. I'm sure Pastor Gary has the same thing. I just don't feel like it, God. I got to go counsel with so-and-so. I just don't feel like it. I got to go sing worship when I just had a fight with my kids on the way to the church, and I just don't feel like it, God. Can you just have Jeremy, just lead us. Can you... And so what happened, Joseph could have done that, but he didn't. Gideon kind of struggles with it. He's the butt God guy, right? But then God puts him in his place and says, look, you know, listen, use the strength that you have. Because Gideon argues, I'm the weakest of my family. And I know that we're filled with a church, and we've all thought that. I'm the weakest of my family. But God says, go with the strength that you have. What's the matter with you? Go, just go, right? We can translate that to us. But now we see in John 19:20 with our Christ, our Messiah hanging upon the cross, he says those three words that give us no excuse at all. John 19:30 says, it is finished. I love how Mark puts it. Mark says he declares or he shouts or he makes a great sound or whatever implies, but I can just picture him up there on that cross. It is finished, with the power and the authority coming through him. Now the veil is torn and we have no excuse at all. And we walk around with a mindset of lack. Well, if I could just, can you imagine? And I'm sure God doesn't lose sleep over this. But can you imagine? Hey, Jesus, come here, man. I sent you down. I took care of it. The veil is torn from top to bottom. Like that veil, if you want to learn about that veil, that was thick. That was wide. That was not going to happen by a man. That was a miracle in and of itself. It's torn. Okay? And that signifies that we can now come to God, and we don't need that priest, and we don't need that, the whole, everything that they went through, the processes and the systems. Now we can go to God. We can be in the supermarket and go to God. We can be at our work and go to God. We can be lying in our bed, okay, while our wife is still sleeping, and we can go to God and be saturated and surrounded with his presence. There's no excuse now. There is no excuse now. God said, you know what? I created you out of abundance then, and nothing changed. The fall of man put the lack inside of your mind. And now, the new covenant, he says, I've created you out of abundance then. What's changed? I mean, what's changed? You say that you can't do it. I didn't tell you that you couldn't do it. You say that you're not strong enough. I didn't tell you that you're not strong enough. Who's telling you that? I had a conversation with one of my boys. It was one of them, at least one of them here. And he was hard on himself, right? And he's telling me all the stuff that he just doesn't like about himself. You know, I'm just not, if I, you know? And I said, who's telling you that? Like, I'm not telling you that. I'm trying to, and I was like in tears, you know, we're driving in the car. You know, we're driving in the car. I remember I called my father-in-law right before, like, what do I do? Okay, but I was gonna single out. One of them was outside practice, so I drove with the other one. And I said, listen, who's telling you that? I am certainly not telling you that. You are my offspring. I am so proud of you. And I get in trouble a lot at school and I do this. I'm like, listen, we'll deal with that, but I am so proud of you. I love you and I've seen you and nothing could take that away from me. And we're crying, you know, I'm like reaching back, like petting his knee and everything like that, trying to stay on the road. But then I thought, man, how much more does our Heavenly Father, he's trying to reach out to us. You know, who told you that you needed to think like that? Who told you that you needed to accept defeat in your life? Listen, there's a lot that I can't explain. There's a lot that Pastor Gary, he would tell you, he can't explain. I don't know why all this stuff happens sometimes. You know, a lot of times in life we do attract that, right? With a certain mindset, we attract certain things, good or bad, positive or negative. All right? I'm not getting new age on you. I'm just saying that's what happens. It's in the word. Right? Speak life. There's death and life by the power of the tongue. We attract this stuff because we bring it on, good or bad. You know, it's not anybody else's fault that you're in the situation. Sometimes though, don't get me wrong, sometimes there's situations where you can't explain. And you're thinking to yourself, how did that happen? Why did that happen? I don't know. But we need to remember that God has created us out of abundance and his desire for us is freedom. His desire for us is victory. His desire for us, the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come to give life and life abundance. Say it again. Abundance. Say it like you really mean it. Abundance. That's a little better. Amen. Abundance of joy, of peace. Peace, even while you're watching the Bruins start in the Stanley Cup on Monday. And that's going to be, I joke, but peace. Assurance, knowing that I'm doing what I can as a parent, and I'm praying for wisdom, and I'm gonna wait on the Lord, and sure, I'm gonna make mistakes, but I'm counting on his grace and mercies to lead me because he is the good father, and I wanna be a good father to my children. And assurance in him, assurance that he'll lead me, assurance that he'll take me to the places where I need to go. Amen? So two things. We're not going to worry about time. Some of us would be in this room and you would say, I'm too old, I don't have enough time. If I was younger, then I could. But the fact of the matter is that you, your carbon-based life form, is still living and breathing. So therefore, he's still desiring to use you in a way that brings glory, that brings him glory, and that brings the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. If you can check your pulse right now, and I guarantee that everyone in here, your pulse is active, you're good, okay? That's you, that's me. And what the Lord's saying, if you're listening to this, okay? The Lord is saying, the Lord is moving you to a place you're not finished yet. He's not finished yet. In fact, you know what the cross is? The cross isn't a finish line. The cross is saying, hey, we're just getting started. Don't worry about the thousands of years. Get that fall of man. Get that fall of man excuse. Get that mindset of lack excuse out of your mind. Instead, he's created you out of abundance. He's created you out of abundance so you can in turn give him the glory and to establish the heaven, the kingdom upon earth. That's what these knights are for. These people gathering together, you know, gathering together and worshiping God. That's what we come together. We worship God. We want to be saturated with his presence. There's an old prayer back in the day, and I remember when I was baptized back in FCC, Family Christian Center, years ago. I can't remember how, I think I was between the age of 12 and 15. I can't remember when that was. Maybe my dad or my mom or sister can remember. My sister's perfect. Where is she? There she is. My sister still to this day has not sinned. I don't know what is going on. Anyway, but I remember something that I had a youth pastor that I was really close to, and he said, I want you, when you come up out of that water, there's an old prayer that they used to say, but I want you, when you come up out of that water, I want you to say, but I don't want you just to say it. I want you to say it and believe it. And sometimes I feel like we need to do this whenever we feel, and sometimes we give the enemy too much credit. I'm just saying, sometimes it's us. All right, amen? Okay, sometimes it's us. But instead, I'm going to say, you know what? I renounce the devil and all of his ways. I'm saying, I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not going to go down that road of my doubts that separate me. Instead, I'm going to use that. I'm going to dig into the word. And I'm going to find the answers that I need. I'm going to saturate myself with the presence. As Acts 3:19 would say, the presence of God is what changes us. So I remember coming up out of the water, and I was in tears, you know, but I was wet, so you couldn't tell that I was crying. And I was anywhere between the 12 to 15, and I was just like a sobbing mess. And I renounced the devil. You know, I was just a mess, right? But I renounced the devil and all of his ways. And then years later, we went to a Ron Luce event, right? And we're there, and they had baptismals out everywhere, like the inflatable ones. I think they might have been in like inflatable pools, right? Little kiddie pools. And they were having baptisms, and there were hundreds and hundreds coming down, and he was having them scream into the mic, I renounce the devil in all of his ways. And I'll tell you what, if we can gain that mindset, if we can gain a mindset that says, you know what, I'm created out of abundance. I'm created to create. I'm created to bring forth and replenish. And God is asking us to replenish the earth for his glory. Amen? You're going tonight, or those of you who go, you're not going to see a man speak. You're not seeing people lead worship. You're going because somebody has a heart to replenish. Somebody has a heart to bring forth the good news, to bring forth life, and to replenish the earth. Imagine if we just all worked together, what this world would look like. Bring forth and replenish. And that starts with love. Amen? Can we stand? I appreciate y'all that can stick with my squirreliness. My students are used to it. But I believe that, man, the Word of God has, I'm studying it differently than I have in the past. And maybe I'm not doing the depth or the amount that I was doing years ago. You know, I remember years ago before work, I would read 6 chapters a day, and sometimes I do that. But I'll tell you what, I am retaining more and understanding more and having a deeper revelation now more than ever. And I challenge each and every one of us to dig into it, right? Dig into this word. And it's funny because when your mind and when your face is in the Word of God, it doesn't matter what you read, right? I read a lot of fiction. I read a lot of fiction, and I'm seeing God move in that. And he's speaking to me. You know why? Because God speaks that way. He speaks in those unctions that we can hear. Man, God doesn't speak in English. He speaks in God, and we just need to listen. And we need to, and we, as a songwriter, I then put that into English and say what the Lord is speaking to me. And I say that even in the midst of my circumstance, that it seems completely over my head, I will run to the one who calls me child. Amen? And out of that comes a song that resonates with our soul because he spoke. Amen? So listen to that still small voice. Listen to that unction. Listen to the Word of God speak life within you. Heavenly Father, I pray for everybody in this room, God. I pray that you would allow us, that you would open our hearts and our minds to be able to receive what you're speaking, what you're saying. And God, I pray that you would do surgery even within our minds, God, that you would take out that element of fear, that element of lack, that element that says, I don't have enough time. Time is running out. I don't have enough time. I pray that you would surgically eradicate that spiritually from us. And Lord, I know it's a choice that we need to make, but Lord, I pray that we would be bold enough to make that choice that says, I am a child of God, and I am not made out of lack, but I am made out of abundance, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. For I am God's own workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I know I'm getting out of context, but Lord, I pray that you've, and I thank you that you've spoken these words, that we could see them now. We could see them now, and we could walk in a way that brings the kingdom of God here upon earth as it is in heaven. I thank you, God, that you are good. Lord, I thank you that you are God and I am not. But Lord, I thank you that I am created in your likeness. So Lord, use us and deliver us from all evil as we forgive those who have debts against us. Because Lord, you've forgiven us freely. We walk in faith and we accept your grace and your mercies. We receive the open windows and doors of heaven upon our lives. Forgive us for our mindsets of lack. Forgive us for walking in fear, but let us go forward knowing that you are the God of abundance. Let us bring forth the good news and let us replenish so this earth can be restored into its original purpose and glory. God, we love you and we praise you. We thank you so much. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. And everybody who believes said, amen. Amen. God bless you.